everyone. I wrestled with doing a typical Mother's Day sermon, but this is where the Lord really led me in my preparations coming up to now. But I really trust it will encourage you all as we look at seven aspects of the goodness of the Lord. Let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank you that you are a good Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, just deepening our understanding and our appreciation and our application of this great truth, it'll become much more than just a pleasant thought, but it'll become something that strengthens us and encourages us in our lives each day. We just ask you, Lord, to take your word and to bless your people with it now. Amen. The goodness of the Lord is a major theme of Scripture. It's presented to us right from Genesis chapter 1. As God goes through each of the 6 days of creation, we're just constantly reminded that everything that God does is good. Altogether at the end of the chapter, we're told it was very good. And as I look out at creation and I look into the universe, I think that's one of the great understatements of history. The creation is good. It's far, far more amazing than that. But we're immediately sort of confronted with this is one of the primary aspects of the God that we serve and the God that we worship, is that he is good. He is someone that we can trust in to always do the right thing. And then as you go through all of Scripture, you just see it demonstrated over and over again in the lives of his people, starting with Adam and Eve and all the ways that he blessed them. The wonderful environment that he put him in and the care and the love that he demonstrated them, and even the goodness that he showed when they sinned in taking care of them after that they had rebelled against him. We see it right through the Old Testament. We see the goodness of the Lord in the way that he cared for his people, particularly his faithful servants. You think of Noah and his family during the flood. You think of Joseph and the time in prison. You think of Daniel in the lion's den. And significantly, these were all during very tough times in these people's lives. But the Lord's goodness sustained them and then delivered them from it all. You see the goodness of the Lord right through the history of Israel. And firstly, making them a nation, then saving them from the bondage of Egypt, then delivering them into the promised land, and then blessing them and teaching them and protecting them generation after generation. And then when they would regularly turn away from him, he would warn them. He would send prophets to guide them back into the right direction. And when they didn't listen, he'd give them a slap on the wrist. He'd chastise them to get their attention. And then if they continued to turn away, eventually he would restore them when they would turn back to him. But as you look through Scripture, the greatest demonstration of the goodness of God is Jesus Christ. That God would reach out to mankind in our terrible state of wickedness and sinfulness, and he would give us that opportunity to come back into his fellowship and his blessing, and that he would provide that himself by becoming man and then giving his life on the cross. And we see this goodness of the Lord right through the Gospels. As day after day, you see Jesus demonstrating his compassion, his gentleness, his generosity, his patience, his humility with just everybody that came across his path. He's just a living example of the goodness of God and how God wants to demonstrate that in our lives on a daily basis. It is so sad that so many around us have a harsh and negative perspective of who God is, oftentimes because of the effects of man in their lives. They end up blaming God and fail to understand how much he loves them and how much he wants to bless them and fill their lives with their goodness. Psalm 100, verse 5, David says, "The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." David repeats this several times throughout the Psalms, and it's a truth that just gets reinforced through all of Scripture, so that the goodness of the Lord won't be just an encouraging thought to us, but that it'll become a foundation to our relationship with him, a foundation to our faith, so that we can grow closer to him, so that we can be drawn to him. Because if we don't really know the goodness of the Lord, if it's just something that's a theoretical part of our faith, then we won't have that desire to know him more. We won't acknowledge his goodness in our lives. In all the good times, we'll just say, well, isn't everything going great? But when we know the goodness of the Lord, then all of those blessings then are turned back to the Lord. We acknowledge his goodness and his lovingness in our lives. So we develop a grateful heart for the Lord instead of just taking all of his blessings for granted. And if we know the goodness of the Lord, or I should say if we don't know the goodness of the Lord, then when the tough times come, instead of turning to him and trusting him that he'll get us through, we doubt him, we question him, we even blame him in the trials of life because we don't know the goodness of the Lord in our lives. Psalm 121 has seven aspects of the goodness of the Lord. I'm just going to focus on three and briefly refer to the other four. And then I want to demonstrate the goodness of the Lord through the life of David, who they credit Psalm 121 to, but also through the life of Laila, so that we can see that the goodness of the Lord lasts generation after generation. And just as he blessed David's life 3,000 years ago, he is blessing people around us today, and he wants to perform those same blessings in our lives as well. In Psalm 121, the first aspect of the blessing of the Lord is that he is our help. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Can you see the capabilities of God's help in that verse? The God who made the heavens and the earth is saying that I am here to help you in your life each day. The God who spoke and the universe came into existence, said, I am here to be on your side on a daily basis. If he can create the universe out of nothing, is there any struggles or problems or difficulties or heartaches that we have in this life that he can't handle? Of course not. A good life lesson that I had sort of drummed into me at a young age was that when things get tough, when problems seem to be the only things that we see, it's always good to remember that we have a God that can do amazing things in 6 days. He can turn these problems into blessings as we turn to him. David knew God is his helper from his youth, whether it was in guarding the sheep and killing a bear and a lion, whether it was standing up to Goliath in the name of God. He knew God could help him in all situations, and he remembered it through his life. Psalm 63, verses 7 and 8, David testifies, because you have been my help, I will rejoice in the shadow of your wings. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. These verses of praise came not in good times when he was sitting in his palace, but when he was on the run in the wilderness being chased by Saul for his life. Psalm 23, another famous psalm of David. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What he's saying is that with the Lord as my helper, I don't need anything else. I don't need anyone else. The Lord is able to provide everything that I need in my life. And then you go down to verse 5 and he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. In good times and bad times, David was saying, the Lord is there to help me in all situations. Lael and Lor have experienced this as well, whether it be in leading them to their present location, providing all their needs along the way, providing protection when they had to evacuate in times of conflict, to most recently delivering the truck full of supplies over that difficult journey. It was held up a number of times through all sorts of problems, and we were sort of saying, oh Lord, get it there, get it there. But then we found out that part of the timing of the Lord was that the convoy that was going behind them was actually attacked by thieves and bandits. The Lord was with them, protecting them each step of the way, the truck, and keeping them on his schedule. So often the Lord's schedule isn't ours, but we need to just trust that his plan is better than ours at times. I remember years ago a photo that Lael sent back in the early days. They had loaded about 5 tons of supplies on their Land Rover to take up out of South Sudan into Sudan when they returned once. And these vehicles are starting to get really old, so we're always praying. It's a 10-hour drive on really bad roads from Ida up into the Nuba Mountains. And so we're always praying for the vehicles. And they made it through safely. They didn't get home back to Nuba until the middle of the night with all the supplies. They hadn't unloaded the vehicle. They just took the kids in and they crashed in bed. And they came out the next morning and Lael took a photo of the Land Rover from behind. And both the tires were flat. The Lord had got the Land Rover all the way up home. And then overnight, when they were sleeping, the tires died. just one of so many examples in their years that they've been over it where the Lord has been their help. The Lord's goodness from generation to generation. But you know, one of the greatest ways that the Lord helps us is actually through the help of others. For David, it was his mighty men. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, 37 men are listed who stood by him while he was on the run for years from Saul and then later became leaders in his army and his kingdom. One of his mightiest men was named Benaiah, who they named their son after. And interestingly, Lael's middle name is David. History is repeating itself in Nuba. But I praise the Lord for the men that God has raised up to help Lael over the years. There was a team of young men that helped him in the first couple of the years establish the work. They've all moved on to other ministries and other affairs in life. But over the last 10 years, the Lord has raised up three men. You met two of them on the screen today. Bagadi wasn't there. Yahya, Rashid, and Bagadi. And these three men are loyal, gifted, hardworking men who love the Lord and love Lael and Laura and the kids. They are precious gifts that the Lord has provided to strengthen and extend his work in Nuba. I'm sure each of us, as we look back on our spiritual journey in our lives, when we think about it, we can identify those that have helped us in our life, whether it be practically or whether it be spiritually. And it's important to be grateful for them and the contributions they've made to our life. But it's equally important to be grateful to the Lord for the fact that he provided at those times in our life. In Australia, we have many substitutes for the Lord's help in our lives. If we want financial help, we go to the government, or we go to the banks, or we go to charitable organizations. If we want emotional help, we turn to our friends and our family. If we want physical help, we go to the doctor and our medical system. And these are all wonderful blessings that we have in our lives to our availability. But what it leads to is a tendency to forget that the Lord is our help in life, because we are constantly turning to man to provide those needs. We end up using the Lord as a last resort instead of our first choice when we have problems and struggles and needs. And as a result, we fail to learn of his goodness. We fail to experience his care and his capabilities in helping us through tough times, because we're always depending on others. And we have to be honest, there's times when the help of man falls far short of what we need, particularly in issues in our soul. And as a result, we live lives of worry, of anxiety, of disappointment, because we've turned to someone other than the Lord for help. But when we remember, when we know that the Lord is good, and we put him to the test, problems become opportunities. Opportunities to see the Lord work in our circumstances, but more importantly, opportunities to find him working in our own life, strengthening in our faith, giving us his wisdom, helping us understand how we can cope so that we can shine for the Lord to others of weaker faith or no faith at all. The Lord is good. When we get hold of all of the dimensions, all of the wonders of the fact that we have a good God, even that will make the problems that we have so small compared to him. Secondly, Psalm 121 reminds us that the Lord is our keeper in verses 3 to 7. He will not allow your feet to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. This keeping or this protection of the Lord has three aspects in these verses. Firstly, his protection. Secondly, his constancy. And thirdly, his relief or his comfort. When I think of the word keeper, because of my youth, I immediately go to the game of soccer and think, yeah, okay, that's what a keeper does. He protects his goal from the opponent so that his team will win. That's his responsibility, to protect the goal. But somehow I don't think soccer was on David's mind when he was writing this psalm. I think it was the thoughts of a shepherd, because that was his background. And the shepherd was the one responsible for keeping the sheep. He would keep an eye on the sheep during the day, lead them to safe pastures, make sure that they didn't wander away, and at night They would take them to little folds, usually about rock walls about a meter high, that the sheep would be led into. And the shepherd then, the good shepherd, would sleep at the door. And he would keep the sheep at night, making sure that no enemies, no wolves or wild animals could come in and attack the sheep. As Jesus said, I am the door. That was the illustration that he was using. That he is someone who watches over us to keep us from evil and to protect us in our lives. To protect us from the big things, verse 7, from all evil. Isn't that a great verse? The Lord desires to protect us from all evil. The great things and even the little things, verse 3, to protect us from stumbling. From the little things that cause us to trip up in life. Those little problems that just cause us to be distracted and discouraged on a daily basis. I think that verse is also very relevant to stop us from stumbling in our faith and turning our eyes off the Lord. He wants to protect us in all of these areas. And again, David knew this time and time again. If you went through 1 and 2 Samuel, you would just find example after example of how the Lord stepped in to protect him from his enemies, from those who wanted to kill him. I like one little story in 1 Samuel 23, in that when he was on the run from Saul, running through the wilderness, I think of Maen, Saul was chasing him with his army. And they got to a mountain, and David knew that Saul was in the area. David didn't know where Saul was. And as Saul went around the left-hand side of the mountain, God took David around the other side. And they literally went straight past each other with a mountain in the middle on their way. Amazing. Amusing as well, as I sort of have an aerial vision of what was going on at that particular time. Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2, David said, I will love you, O Lord. You are my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. You are my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. I'm sure David had days of doubts and of fear, but when he was just trusting in the Lord and his goodness, fear wasn't part of his life. It was confidence that God was in control and that God would deliver him from the situations he was facing. I didn't write this one down, but there's a verse in 1 Timothy that says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. There's too many Christians today that are struggling in those areas of their lives, and the goodness of God is part of the solution. Lael knows this many times. He has delivered him from danger and from problems that were way out of his control. I love the story of the commissioner in his area that told Lael that he had to hire some of his family members as part of his helpers to pay him wages. None of these men were godly. None of these men were Christians. So Lael said, no, I won't, because we only hire those who know and love the Lord. The commissioner kept pressuring and pressuring, and Lael kept saying no and no. Finally, the commissioner called Lael to a meeting, and he said, if you do not hire these men, I will throw you in jail. And he had the power and the authority to do it. And he said, I will give you 1 week to think about this. Lael went home. He shared it with those who pray for him, and we prayerfully put it before the Lord. And the commissioner called him to come the next Friday to give him his final answer. And if it was no, he was going to go in jail. As Lael prepared to go the day before, he got word that the commissioner had put the meeting off for a week. Over the weekend, that commissioner got dismissed from his position by his authorities. But it wasn't. It was the Lord stepping in and saying, you don't threaten my servant. You don't imprison my servant. You lose your job. We've seen things like this over and over again. As the Lord has taken care of, as the Lord has kept Lael and Lorab and the work in Nuba. Like a hen sheltering her chicks under her wings, that Psalm 17 verse 8 talks about. Psalm 139 verses 5 and 6, David says, this is one of my favorite verses, you have hedged me behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Isn't that a wonderful picture of what the Lord does for us? He builds a hedge behind us, before us, and covers us with his hand so that nothing can get to us. That's the protection of the Lord. And then David says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. And that was the key for David. It was knowledge. It was experiential knowledge of the goodness of the Lord in his life. It wasn't part of his Christian theory. It was a fact. The Lord had been his keeper time and time again, just as he promises over and over again in Scripture for each one of his people today. The goodness of the Lord, I should say the protection of the Lord as our keeper, is something that is constant. It comes through in these verses. Verse 3, he doesn't slumber. He doesn't. He's watching us all the time. Night and day. Verse 6, night and day. 24/7. Verse 7, in totality. He protects us from all evil. In verse 8, he protects us everywhere, whether we're coming in or going out. And in verse 8, the Lord shall preserve your going in, out, and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore, today and forever. God doesn't sleep. God doesn't even blink. He never changes. He will always be good. And that should give us confidence in our lives each day. The third aspect of his keeping comes in verse 5 and 6, when it says how he brings relief in our lives. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He wants to protect us just from the heat and the weariness of the day, to be our shade in life. That there's times when we're just feeling worn out, when we're just feeling exhausted, when we're feeling that we just can't go on. God wants us to know that I'm there. I'm there to encourage you and to restore you, so that you won't fall under the weight of fatigue or doubt or self-pity. And as we turn to the Lord at those times, as our shade, he does bring relief and comfort through his word, through his spirit, through others around us, but just through his presence in our lives, encouraging us that even though things are tough, he is greater to help us carry through. Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. Says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A few years ago, I burnt out, pushed too hard, too long. And the Lord was just marvelous. When I just wanted to give up, he just said, Graham, it's time for some time in the pastures, beside the still waters. And they were beautiful, beautiful time with the Lord to just learn of his tender personal care in my life. David knew this often. He went through a lot of tough times. The Lord encouraged him when things got really bad. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, he was away with his men on a mission. And while he was away, the Amalekites came and just completely raided his village, torched it to the ground, took all of the women and children and all the spoils away with them. The men came back to find this horrific sight, and they were greatly distressed, and they blamed David, and some of them talked about it's time for a new leader to get rid of David for what had happened. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, when he was just surrounded by all of this terribleness, it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. The goodness of the Lord, the capability of the Lord, the faithfulness of the Lord in his life. And as you read in the next chapter, the Lord wonderfully restored all of the wives and children. No one was killed by the Amalekites. All of their goods and much, much more, as the Lord rewarded David's faithfulness with abundance. This was a situation beyond David's help, but not the Lord's. He helped him when things were at its darkest. I remember in the early years of Nuba, things were really tough for Lael and Lor. While he was building the house, they were living in really primitive conditions. At that stage, they only had the African diet to live. I watched just over the months, Laura just getting skinnier and skinnier and skinnier, and worrying about her as a dad. Some of their key helpers let them down in different ways, and it was just a really tough first couple of years. Anna was born there, and that was a trial in itself. But then they had to get Anna to Nairobi, to the nearest Australian embassy in Kenya, so that they could get her citizenship sorted out, her passport sorted out. Because she was born in the Nuba Mountains, she was just considered an alien. And so they had to deal with that. And on the journey down, the 10-hour drive down from the Nuba Mountains to Ida, where they would fly out from, the roads were really wet And instead of being able to do it in one day, they had to do it over 2 days. And while they were sleeping in the Land Rover overnight, they just got attacked by mosquitoes. And Benny was just covered. Benny was just covered head to toe. And I remember Laura saying, "Lord, I just want to go home. I had enough." But they battled on and they got to Eden. And they hitched a ride with Samaritan Perth's pilot, who was going to take them to Juba then to sort out the next leg. And he just started talking to them about what they were doing and the mission they were endeavoring and everything. And he just took them to heart. He said, "Listen, I can get you beyond Juba. I can get you into Kenya. We'll just get you to across the border, and so that you don't have to deal with any customs problems in South Sudan, because Anna didn't have a passport." And so he said, "But unfortunately, when we get to Juba, you've got to get out of the plane and you've got to walk through customs and then come back onto the plane. We have that legal responsibility to do that with the government of South Sudan." And so they got out, Laura and Lael and Johnny and Benai, who had passports, and Laura carrying Anna, who had no passport, and they walked through customs. And the customs officials checked all the passports, looked at the family, and for some reason did not see Anna. And they walked through customs, and they walked back to the plane, and the customs officials said, "Yeah, everything's fine." As if God blinded the customs officials to them. And in the meantime, this pilot called, I usually get emotional when I preach, but his family called his wife in Kenya and said, "Organize some accommodation for these guys." When they got there, they had this whole penthouse set up. The cupboards were all stocked. Pizzas were on the table. Toys were there for the kids. And they had a week to recover before they went on to Nairobi, where then family met them for a month to help them fully recover before they went back to the work. You could say it was people, but it wasn't. It was the Lord. The Lord stepping in saying, "These guys need relief. These guys need shade. They need to be restored." Because that's our God. He loves us. He wants to fill our lives with his goodness. He wants to provide that relief and encouragement and restoration when things are tough. Because he's a good God. And he will prove it when we step out in faith and we trust in him and we're obedient to his calling in our lives. We all go through tough times. But the Lord wants us to turn them into blessed opportunities by experiencing his care. Too often in life, we focus on the badness of others instead of the goodness of the Lord. We focus on our failures instead of his capabilities. We focus on our problems instead of his promises. And we get overcome instead of overcoming with the Lord's help. The last aspect of his goodness is in verse 7. And I'll make this short because I'm gone long. And that it says, that simple phrase, after all of these things where he talks about how he wants to help us in our life, in verse 7, he says, "He shall preserve your soul." And this is the greatest work of God, is what he does in our soul. That through Jesus Christ as our Savior, he saves our soul, he cleanses our soul, he restores our soul to where it should be. And then through his Holy Spirit, he desires to continue that work in encouraging us, comforting us, strengthening us, helping us in our lives and in our souls each day, as he leads us and ministers to us, and as we follow him as our shepherd and our king. In verse 8, it says, "The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." There will come a time for each one of us where our bodies will no longer exist, but our souls will forevermore. And we'll know the goodness of the Lord then, if we know him as our Savior and God. This hope and confidence flows through lots of David's Psalms, even when they are written in tough times. And as we know, Psalm 23, verse 6 finishes with this shout of triumph from David: "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Hope, confidence filled David's life because he knew the goodness of God. Psalm 34, verses 8 to 10. The last verse that I want to share from the testimony of David, where David turns to us, turns to those around him, and he says, "So taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." taste and see that the Lord is good. How do we do that? Verse 8, through trusting in the Lord. In verse 9, through reverence of the Lord. And in verse 10, through seeking Him in our hearts and in our lives. I focused on examples today from David's life of 3,000 years ago and Lael and Laura's life today. But with all of these points, I could have brought examples from Mum and Dad's life. I could have brought examples from Pauline and my life. Because the goodness of the Lord endures generation after generation after generation. And He wants to prove that in your lives too. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we do thank You for these marvelous truths that at times we forget, that You are good and that You desire to be our helper, to be our keeper, to minister to our soul on a daily basis. We praise You for this, Lord, for You are a wonderful God who deserves our love and our reverence and our faith. And we just honor You today. Amen.